It's that time.
Psst. Hey, Mitch.
Mitchie. We're looking for you, pal.
Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, talking Big Red.
Unleash the fury, Mitch.
Unleash the fury!
On Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you on a Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Cotter Clark, Mitch Sherman with us from The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how we doing? Thanks for the time.
Doing great. I'm at a middle school track meet and just standing on top of a hill watching the long jump and enjoying this beautiful weather, talking to you, so it's all good.
I love the game we play with Mitch every single week. Where in the world is Mitch? It's on his roof hanging Christmas lights or on a windy hill at a track meet. Like, it's always
not windy.
New.
It's like the nicest day of the year so far. I mean, I it's like the one day out of the 20 previous and upcoming where it's not windy. I'm just happy to be out here. But yeah, you do tend to catch me at some odd spots, which probably is just completely normal for me. It's if you called me any time, that's, you know, you never know what I might be doing.
Well, Mitch, you just got to wear the Waldo polo that's striped, and, mm-hmm. And then we'll be able to tell the greater Gretna/Omaha area where Mitch is at. You'll be spotted.
I'm at Elkhorn Middle School, so feel free to stop by, anyone who's listening, and say hello.
That'd be great. So I'm interested here. We've taken Johnny Rogers off the table. We got into the return game portion of special teams with Mr. Foley speaking today. I want to get your takeaways from the open practice this morning, Mitch, in a moment. But if you could transport or give eligibility to prime era return guys for Nebraska football with Johnny the Jet off the table. Mm-hmm. Who would you go with? We've had some great suggestions. My short list was Bobby Newcomb, DeJuan Gross, DeMorne Pearsonell, Joe Walker. Who was the other guy? The corner, Mike Fullman. Those were kind of, that was my short list. Tyrone Hughes from the 80s. That's one of Jack, the late great Jack Pierce's favorites. So, and I loved watching Hughes do his thing. Who does Mitch circle?
Well, you just named the two I was going to mention. It was Tyrone Hughes and DeJuan Gross.
Okay.
You know, I Nate Swift and Kenny Bell.
Yeah.
In their day, were good at the returns when they had opportunities. But I mean, I don't think you can beat the ones that you just mentioned. Dana Brinson is a guy who I think could get a little bit of run. And there were always running backs who were pretty good at bringing kickoffs out. Mm-hmm. So any of the great running backs, you know, like Doug DuBose. I think he returned to kickoff.
Amir.
Keith Jones. Amir Abdullah was out and out, a good kickoff return guy. Punt return is so much more of an art, though. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kickoff returns, I think, are destined to just completely go away in a short period of time. We'll have them in college football this year. Seemingly not really the NFL. And if it's happening in the NFL, then it's probably happening soon in college. I saw some of the quarterbacks today holding their heads when the music was turned way up during their teamwork drill, and they've got the, it looked like they have the, this would be a question for Matt Rhule on Thursday, but it looked like they had the microphones going or the headset going inside the helmet. I don't know for sure, and I don't know if that's even legal, and I assume it's illegal in practice, so we're not declaring anything at this point, but we'll ask the head coach. It looked to me like they were hearing some noise in there, but kickoff returns are probably going to be at some time soon. We'll always have punt returns, though, I would think. I hope. If not, you can just shut it down. And, you know, DeJuan Gross was definitely a favorite of mine. I just loved his fearlessness when he got the ball.
Mitch, what is the most important quality in your mind that a punt returner needs to have? What sets the greats apart from the good? What sets the good apart from the bad? What's that quality that you think a punt returner has to have?
Well, before you can run, you've got to walk, and before you can walk, you've got to crawl. So the most important thing that you do is you catch the ball. And we've seen plenty of Nebraska teams in recent years that struggled to do even that and then had to go with the designated fair catch man. And then that was really as far as they got. Of course, that was not the MO for Nebraska in years where it was winning conference championships and national championships. They always had someone who was a game breaker and could not just catch the ball and move with it, but could also was also a threat to go the distance at any point. So I'd start off by saying you have to be sure-handed, and obviously you want to be several steps past that. So on down the line, what I said about Gross and his fearlessness, I think that's a huge key, because it's not just a matter of finding guys who are shifty or finding guys that you can line up and win a 40 meter dash. There's plenty of guys who've run 4.4s over the years, and they're not good punt returners because you don't have that feel, and you don't have that ability just to not be scared. When you're running full speed and you're catching the ball and you can't see the guys running at you and they're running full speed, it takes a special kind of football player to be able to thrive in that environment. You just can't be scared. It's like a baseball player who stands in there against a 95 mile an hour pitch and gives no thought at all in his mind to taking one off the kneecap or in the ribs.
Mitch, are there any other names from around the Big Ten or maybe even around the Big 12 / Big 8 that stick out to you when it comes to returning kicks?
You know, I remember Barry Sanders when he did it, when Thurman Thomas was the running back for Oklahoma State. Now, I'm going way back. If you're asking about right now, in like today's college football, I don't know. We'll have to get closer to the season before I'm ready to handicap that. But historically, I mean, like Tim Dwight at Iowa, he was incredible. And the best guy that I ever remember, you know, really doing anything on a football field, but Barry, when he would return, I think he was just a kickoffs guy, but you know, they should have had him on punts. Looking back at what he did in his life, he would have done that just fine too, and scored a lot of touchdowns. But he was incredible, just with the ball in his hands, period.
Mitch, some observations. What did you take away from the open session this morning?
Well, we got to see some quarterbacks throw the ball with an offensive line, with a pass rush, with receivers who were covered by DBs. So that was different than last week, and much more insightful, I think. It's hard to gauge much, as I probably talked about before, when they're just throwing on air and you can't really differentiate a walk-on from a five-star in many cases. Today, you definitely could, and Danny Kalen had a great day. Well, he had a great drill. That was a small portion of practice. It was like 20% of practice or 10% of practice that we were able to view. And the time that we were in there, Kalen was slinging it. And, you know, he hit Ja'Cory Barney, who's an impressive guy, at wide receiver, another early enrollee. And then he hit Isaiah Nair in the back corner of the end zone on a high fade route that looked like something we haven't seen from Nebraska in a while. Certainly remember Casey Thompson making that throw in the opener a couple of years ago in Ireland on the first drive of the year to Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, and it seemed like that play kind of like all but disappeared from the Nebraska repertoire over the last couple of years. And Kalen brought it back, albeit in practice. But and I'm sure it's happened in practice since then. But it's a positive sign to see, for sure. I think it tells you that there's more than one guy on this team who can throw the ball. And, you know, we know Dylan Raiola can throw the ball. And you know, honestly, we knew that Danny Kalen could throw the ball before today. But Dylan's done it at a higher level on more of a national stage than Danny had. And you know, I'm not declaring this, this race changed or anything like that. But competition is going to breed success. And it was enlightening to see those quarterbacks out there throwing it. You know, Dylan had some nice throws too. He wasn't as accurate as Danny in the portion we saw in the deep throws, but he got behind the chains because of a penalty not committed by him, and ended up getting the Nebraska offense out of it by making a really nice throw to Jamal Banks that moved the sticks. So that's what Nebraska's going to need its quarterbacks to do. So, again, very small sample size, but it was great to be able to get to see those guys operate a little bit offensively and just get a tiny taste of what these freshman quarterbacks have in them.
Yeah, Mitch, it's hard to glean too much from the limited looks that we get, but my take as of right now, as of April 9th, 2024, is that if this was an open and shut quarterback competition with Dylan Raiola being the presumed winner, somebody forgot to tell Daniel Kalen. That's kind of where it feels like we're at, is, hey, it's still, I think, likely that Raiola comes out on top, but that doesn't mean Daniel Kalen's not going to give it his best go.
No, yeah, right. And that was the hope coming into this, that nobody was gonna cede anything to Dylan Raiola, and I think Dylan would prefer to have it that way. And Danny Kalen is an accomplished thrower. I mean, a fellow Elite 11 finalist in some aspects of the competition last year in California when both of those guys were out there early in the summer. Kalen outperformed not just Dylan but everybody in the some of the accuracy drills that they do. And I've watched Daniel throw the football after his freshman year at Bellevue West, and he has always been he's always been extremely accurate and really dialed in the kind of drills that you saw today. In like the kind of the combine type things. Today was more than that because they were in pads and they weren't tackling, taking them to the ground, but it was everything but that. There was action at the line of scrimmage. So he looks good in the pads. He's got a live arm. And I agree. I mean, he's a competitor and they start at square one. When they started at square one in January, I think they started at square one again when spring practice began a couple of weeks ago. And you know, unless somebody comes out of this thing way ahead, they're going to start at square one when preseason camp opens in the first week of August, and the competition will continue to ebb and flow, and we'll see what happens by the end of that month.
Mitch, real quick, bud, what's coming up from you with The Athletic?
I got a piece out this afternoon. I talked to Mike Minner, the former Campbell Camels coach who stepped down in December to look for something in the FBS or the preferably the Power Five. And he spent several days in Lincoln over the past week and got to meet individually with Matt Rhule and watch the defensive coaches in particular. He was really impressed with those guys. Work at practice and be behind the scenes in meetings and assess Nebraska's talent. So I wrote about that and you know some of the words that Matt Rhule had to say as they relate to people like Minner who are coaches and former players at Nebraska. Of course, he's a former All Big 12. It is Big 12 because it was 1996. I almost caught myself saying Big 8. But 1996, first year of the Big 12, Minner was an All Big 12 safety. So. Interesting words from him about things that are going on in the program.
Mitch, appreciate the time. Enjoy the track meet, bud.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Mitch Sherman with us on Hail Varsity.